And growth of this historic listener-sponsored radio station. With details, please email bertholdt@wbai.org. That's B-E-R-T-H-O-L-D, bertholdt@wbai.org, with Grant Ryder in the subject heading. Many thanks. Many, many thanks. This is listener-sponsored WBAI New York.
The previous program was Neurodiversity Experts Talk with Natalie Tandiway, and that is heard Fridays at 2 p.m. It is now 2:31 p.m. Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seeds, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for August 6, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Hey, what's been happening lately?
Well, glad you asked. Every week is a busy week, but this week was full of environmental actions.
Today, we report on the NRC public hearing, the Dance Camera Flotilla, the Hiroshima Nagasaki Peace Gathering, and an upcoming celebration of shorebirds.
You know, I went to that nuclear regulatory hearing. It was in Tarrytown, as usual, and this time they promised a phone connection, but that didn't work. They blamed the storm and technical difficulties, but I was on an NRC call that had to be rescheduled after they tried for 30 minutes to connect one of the presenters and ultimately failed, so we're not really convinced by that storm excuse. NRC did hold a closed-door meeting with elected officials earlier in the afternoon, and they have announced a web seminar on August 18th to compensate for the missing phone. These meetings are about Holtec's public post-shutdown activities report, the PSDAR, which guides the decommissioning process for decades to come. It's seriously deficient. There's not a single mention of any of the three pipelines that cross the Indian Pipe property. Actually, when asked, the NRC folks couldn't clearly state how many pipelines there are. I don't understand why the NRC hasn't required Holtec to update the report to address the dangers of heavy equipment being used on top of gas pipelines. After all, as one person at the meeting said, the first thing one does when starting construction is turn off the gas. Last week, the room was much less crowded than most NRC annual assessment meetings, probably because of the storm as well as reluctance to attend in-person indoor meetings. But the smaller number was made up for in the quality of the comments. Almost everyone who spoke was very knowledgeable. It was clear that the fora and meetings held by Clearwater have been effective in educating both legislators and the public about possible hazards of decommissioning. The need for safe storage of the waste was brought up by members of the public questioning the use of Holtec's canisters. We were told that the canisters were approved because they can be transported. But we don't know how that would work. They're actually not able to be carried horizontal. Finances were discussed. Holtec's a collection of limited liability companies. The parent company has no financial responsibility if the decommissioning trust fund, or DTF, falls short. The DTF is taxpayer ratepayer money specifically for restoring the property, not for storing spent fuel, but Holtec has asked for an exemption. The PSDAR includes protections of the DTF balance, but they might not be realistic. A former regulator was there and took issue with the fact that only optimistic scenarios were presented, not what would happen if the fund balance dropped. He suggested that the NRC should require such plans. Another especially well-informed speaker was a former Indian Point employee who spoke about the highly radioactive lower internal areas of the reactor, including the baffle bolts that were a serious problem some years ago. A few people mentioned the need for off-site radiation monitoring, including at the nearby school building, and the possibility of requiring the public to be alerted at times when an action is planned that is likely to cause a spike in the off-site release of radiation. Simply getting the waste off the property would be difficult. Barges would require a stronger dock. It's unclear whether local roads or railways are strong enough for the enormous weight. One panelist attempted to reassure us that New York City would have a lot of objections to radioactive waste floated through the harbor by barge, but concerns remain, including in New Jersey communities where they might be expected to start the land journey. Already, Lacey Township has experience with Holtec decommissioning the Oyster Creek nuclear reactors, and Holtec is very unresponsive. But Matt, I know you were at the hearing too. You and Donna were also in the flotilla, right?
Yeah. What a great day. We had over 50 kayakers and nearly 100 participants, plus the sloops Clearwater and the Woody Guthrie. The press conference was happening on land as we were descending upon the plant, shouting, "Stop, Dance Camera, now!" And banners on the ships and signs on our kayaks. So much fun. Half of the kayaks were supplied by Storm King Adventure Tours. Great guys. And the rest were private kayaks. Clearwater and Food and Water Watch, as members of the Stop Dance Camera Coalition, sponsored it, and the Tuawambam organization and the Orange Wrap organization was there to speak of the plant's impending impact on the river communities. Matt Salton is here with us today. Matt Salton is of Clearwater's Environmental Action Team. Tell us more, Matt.
So we put on this event where we had these kayakers come, we had the sloops Clearwater and Woody Guthrie sail, with the simple message that a new dam scammer facility would be in complete contradiction of New York's climate law, would dirty our air and water, and it is not necessary according to the New York system independent operator.
What's dam scammer?
Dam scammer is a fracked gas energy plant currently on a little peninsula right above Newburgh, New York. It is what's referred to as a peaker plant, so it only runs about 5% of the year. It doesn't generate that much revenue for the company who owns it because it runs so infrequently. So the company is trying to get an application approved to expand the plant by building another one next to it that would run all of the time, essentially. But we don't need it. It would also be still burning fracked gas that we have piped in and shipped in from Pennsylvania. So it's really a question of whether or not we want to abide by the values and the law that we set forth in New York State, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which has us reducing our carbon emissions. This would add to them. It has us getting to renewable energy. This would have us putting a new fossil fuel plant online, and it would be the first fossil fuel plant put online since the CLCPA was signed 2 years ago.
And Clearwater worked so hard to close Indian Point along with other wonderful organizations. And now, the fights never end. There's always something, apparently. But I'm glad that Clearwater is on the forefront working with these other organizations to make this happen and or to stop this from happening. And there's a lot of the health to the communities, health to the rivers. I had a kayaker recently ask me, well, what's the difference? What does it matter to us? Well, you know, we want a healthy Hudson River, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the main issue here, specifically in this area, is that it seems to be that in these areas with limited amounts of political capital, primarily black and brown communities, poor communities, primarily those, because they lack political capital to oppose any of these types of projects, they tend to go in these neighborhoods and communities. If you even just go down to New York City, on the way down there, you can probably guess the makeup and you can guess the income levels of communities based on whether or not you see power plants in them, garbage incinerators in them, simply because they do not have the political capital to fight back. You're not going to see these on the Upper East Side. You're not going to see these in more affluent parts of Westchester. You're going to be in the areas where they lack the will to oppose them.
Well, with all these problems, it's always follow the money, right? And this is a short show, so we will continue talking to you some more, Matt, in the after the show segment. That will be on our website at some point. Ken?
Yeah, there is no greater environmental destruction than a nuclear war. And there is no greater proof of that destruction than the ruins of the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Ecologic welcomes Mari Inoue of the Manhattan Project for a Nuclear Free World, the prime organizer of the August 5th event. Hi, Mari.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Donna. Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you. Tell us about the event yesterday.
Yeah, so we've been organizing peace gathering in front of the Japanese consulate in New York City since 2015 with Veterans for Peace New York City, as well as a dozen of peace organizations here in New York City. And we've been also setting up appointment with the high-level official of the Japanese consulate and meet with them to deliver a bouquet of flowers to express the apologies of the bombings and also to express the condolences to those who suffered because of the bomb, including the survivors, their supporters, their family members who are going through a difficult time, even 76 years after the bombing. Also, we delivered open letters endorsed by so many U.S. groups, individuals. And this year, our open letter was endorsed by more than 100 U.S. groups, representing more than 66,000 members, in addition to 100 of individuals. So that's what we've been doing. But because of the COVID, we weren't able to do in-person gathering in front of the consulate since last year. So we decided to do this online gathering yesterday, because August 5th at noon is August 6th in Japan. That's the day when Hiroshima was bombed in 1945. And we always wanted to do this gathering on weekdays so that we can also set up appointment with the consulate, which is not open on weekends. So, you know, when the August 5th falls into one of those weekends, we do on another weekday before August 5th. So yesterday, we had amazing speakers from Hiroshima, Nagasaki, mainly youth activists. We had one Hibakusha. We also had...
What's Hibakusha?
Generation. Oh, yes. So Hibakusha is a survivor of atomic bombing. So we had second generation Hibakusha, also third generation atomic bomb survivor. We had youth activists from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We also had a youth, a young Fukushima evacuee who evacuated to Tokyo area after the Fukushima disaster, which happened in March 2011, because they're going through ongoing crisis because of the radioactive fallout from the nuclear energy facility, Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant owned by the one of the largest company in Japan. And now we have this problem of this radioactive water stored in the crippled nuclear power plant. And now Japan is planning to dump this contaminated water from Fukushima. They have more than 1.25 million metric tons of radioactive water. And they are thinking about dumping this into the ocean. So we are very against this.
Yeah, I attended your event yesterday morning, and it was amazing. It is one of the best Zoom conferences I have ever been to.
Thank you so much.
The array of speakers that you had, and the music. So you weren't getting in talk. There was music as well, and all the music was incredibly appropriate to what was being talked about. But you had somebody who was in her 80s, who was in Hiroshima when it got bombed, and she talked about all the people she knew who died. And then you had people in high school talking about what's going on in Japan now and what they're suffering through from Hiroshima and Fukushima. It was an amazing event. There's a link to that event on the ecoradio.org website. So I highly recommend everybody go to ecoradio.org and click on it. It's a long URL, so I'm not going to give the whole URL, but it's on YouTube. It's just wonderful. And thank everybody who helped put that on. You guys were amazing.
Thank you so much. It was a team effort.
It had to have been. It was so great. Thank you, Mari, and thank you to the Manhattan Project for a nuclear-free world. Thanks for all that you do.
So, Ken, what's happening with the shorebirds?
Yeah, shorebirds. Oh, shorebirds, those little sandpipers and plovers that are chasing the waves when you go to the beach, if you go there early in the morning, there's these little birds, and they're chasing the waves, and the waves come in, and they come back. And they migrate all the way to the Caribbean from the tundra or southern South America, thousands of miles. Wow. Well, they got to eat. And one of the things they eat on the way back north are the eggs of horseshoe crabs. And horseshoe crabs are being decimated by people using them for bait and by the medical industry that drains their blood to use medicine. And they're supposed to, you know, take a little bit, put it back. You know, like when we give blood, you know, we're able to function. But they don't. No, they take too much, and it kills the poor things.
Oh.
And when they go, the shorebirds go. And they're so much fun to look at. And we don't deserve to kill them, right? Whether you believe that God put them there or they evolved through nature, we don't deserve to kill them all. And that's what we're doing. But I want to leave this on a positive note, because there's a shorebird festival to celebrate those very critters. And they're on their way back to south right now. So yeah. This is a great time for the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge to have a shorebird festival. And it goes on from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And you'll have a guided tour so that you can see these birds. People will tell you what they are and something about them. There's a lot of different areas of Jamaica Bay where you can see them, and different birds prefer different parts of Jamaica Bay, so you get to see them. There's activities for kids. There's a ranger guided walk just for kids. Just at noon, something called the Bird Olympics. But anyway, it's a celebration of shorebirds. It's a celebration of these.
Next Saturday, the 14th, right?
Yes, yes. Saturday, August 14th. So that's in a little over a week. Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge is a broad channel near Rockaway in Queens. It's not that hard to find. It's a long subway ride, but you can take a subway to a National Wildlife Refuge. It might be the only one that you can.
So once again, why should we care about the plovers and the shorebirds?
We don't deserve to kill them. They deserve to live. It's really that simple. They're part of the cycle of nature, and when one part of the cycle of nature goes, there is a domino effect, and they all go.
Okay, well, as usual, the time just flies by, wow. And we do need to wrap it up, but thanks for joining us. Those of our listeners who are online can go to our website, ecoradio.org, to find out more. And let's let our guests give their emails. You can go to, well, let me just do that real quick. You can go to www.clearwater.org and nycaudubon.com for the plovers. And Marie, what is your website? I don't have any hint in front of me.
Oh, it's www.mp-nuclear-free.com.
Great. All right. And
you can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
And you can listen to this show again and any of our past shows and get environmental news on a variety of topics at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up for our email list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page, Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Ecologic available to you for a donation to WBAI. Go to www.givetowbai.org and choose Ecologic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next. Or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or BAI buddy.
And of course, we would love you to become a member in the name of your favorite radio program, Ecologic.
It's a win-win.
And we always appreciate our excellent engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Tune in 2 weeks, Friday, August 20th at 2:30 p.m. when Ecologic discusses car mileage standards.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer cut off debate on the Senate's $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill last night, setting it up for a final vote in the Senate as early as this weekend. This comes on the heels of an estimate from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office on the cost of the legislation. The CBO estimated the bill would add $256 billion to budget deficits over a decade. With their August vacations looming, senators appeared ready to move forward with the bill, a key component of President Biden's agenda. U.S. coronavirus infections have surged to a six-month high, with an average of more than 100,000 daily cases. In Florida, the Memorial Healthcare System has suspended elective surgeries and has set up beds for COVID-19 patients in conference rooms, an auditorium, and a cafeteria. Florida now faces its worst surge of the pandemic. Even so, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has refused to reverse his ban on mask mandates, calling vaccinations, social distancing, and masking an individual choice. Dozens of House Democrats, including the leaders of the Armed Services, Foreign Affairs, and Intelligence Committees, called on President Biden to immediately close the military prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Weeks before the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, which helped lead to the prison's opening, the 75 lawmakers sent a letter calling the prison's continued operation a stain on the country's reputation that undermines its ability to advocate for human rights and the rule of law. The prison at Guantanamo has held nearly 800 prisoners throughout its history, but currently holds only 39 men, many aging and increasingly infirm. 28 have never been charged with crimes over nearly two decades of imprisonment. Atlantic Ocean currents have experienced an almost complete loss of stability due to human-caused climate change, according to a new study published in the journal Nature Climate Change. Those currents, which include the Gulf Stream, regulate global climate by carrying warm water from the tropics to northern Europe and pushing cold water back south along the ocean floor. The new research found greater instability in several key indicators, which means a tipping point in the system is much closer than we would have expected. Today marks the 56th anniversary of the signing of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, which was intended to prevent racial discrimination in voting. The Voting Rights Act has long been hailed as the most successful piece of civil rights legislation ever passed by the U.S. Congress. Its advances are now under threat after the Supreme Court in its Shelby County versus Holder decision of 2013 overturned critical parts of the 1965 Act. And today marks 76 years since the United States dropped the world's first atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima, killing an estimated 140,000 people. During a ceremony today at the site of the blast, Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga vowed Japan would work with other nations